Hello, my name is Carl Love. I'm one of the Valgrind developers. I've been working on Valgrind for about 10 years now. I've done Power 8, Power 9, and Power 10 support in Valgrind. Today's talk is on adding the Power ISA 3.1 instruction set support to Valgrind. ISA 3.1 is implemented in the Power 10 processor. The goals for today's talk is to briefly look at the new features in the ISA 3.1. And the primary goal here is to help developers to understand the methods which are used for adding new instruction support into Valgrind. There's basically four methods that you can use. The first one is to implement using existing IOPS. The second one would be to create a new IOP to map the new instruction to. You can also implement a new clean helper. You can implement with a dirty helper. Now the first we're going to look at ISA 3.1. It added about 259 new instructions to the previous version of the instruction set specification. We now have both 32-bit and 64-bit instruction length. And we've got 128-bit integer operations, and there's a large number of instructions for doing matrix multiply assist. Basically, you can do matrix multiply on various sizes of data, 4-bit, 8-bit, 16-bit, etc., both integer, and then you have floating point. So, and you can do masking on it. So there's a whole class of these instructions for doing matrix multiply. Those instructions use this ACC register file, which we'll talk about here in a minute. And additionally, we've got this 128-bit or quad word size data, and so various instructions have been added to operate on that data size. The implementation of a new instruction using existing IOPS is the preferred method. It basically allows the most granularity for the various Valgrind tools to go and insert code as needed into the user's program to instrument it as necessary. Basically, you take the instruction, you break it into a sequence of operations, which you can implement with the existing IOPS that are supported on that host platform. For example, the BRW instruction, it's just reverse the order of the bytes in a word. It takes a 64-bit wide data, which is two 32-bit words. So the input order is as follows. You got basically word 0, byte 0, 1, 2, 3, word 1, byte 0, 1, 2, 3. And the result is going to be word 0, bytes 3, 2, 1, 0, and word 1, 1, 3, 2, 1, 0. The word order isn't changed, just the order of the bytes. So here's the implementation in Valgrind. You got four IR temps that are created. You're then going to use an AND IOP to mask off the first byte, the second byte, the third byte, the fourth byte, storing it into the temporary. You're then going to use a SHIFT IOP to move the bytes to the new location. You're going to OR everything back together, and the result is assigned into, in this case, variable result, which is then stored into a register. That's the typical way you're going to see most instructions are going to be something along those lines. The issue comes in that case, you only used 11 IOPS. The issue comes in when you start generating lots and lots of IOPS for a particular instruction. It's a very complex instruction. So if you end up with hundreds to thousands of IOPS, you may in fact start overflowing the translation buffer in Valgrind, and you're going to get an error message when you try to run your code on that. So it's also hard to debug and potentially would result in rather slow execution for that instruction. So a clean helper is a C code function that replaces a long sequence of IOPS that does a computation. The result of the clean helper is placed back into an IR value, just as if you'd been doing it with IOPS. And then you store that IR temp into a register or whatever the key may be. The key thing here is that you're not touching the IR, the guest state directly. For example, the DCFFIXQQ instruction is a 128-bit signed integer to DFP instruction. DFP, of course, is a format for storing the base 10 floating point values as opposed to the IEEE floating point format. It basically results in less round-off error as you're doing computations of these floating point values. It's used a lot in banking applications. So for this particular instruction, we were able to do the conversion using an existing IOP supported on Power. However, once you've done the conversion, you need to know how to set the condition code values. And the condition code values are set based on the converted value. Is it an integer? Is it a normal number, a subnormal number, quiet, not a number, infinity, etc.? So you have to go in and look at the DFP number that you've got and do a bunch of if statements to determine what the floating point type is. That requires a lot of if statements, nested if statements, and that ended up generating a lot of IR code, which is too expensive. So we use this simple clean helper to do it. So the implementation looks like this. Again, the first thing here we've got is we got VB source. We're going to reinterpret that as an I-128, and then we're going to convert from the I-128 into a D-128, and that gets assigned into temp D-128. So this is the actual conversion of the input data into a DFP value. Now, we got to go determine what type of floating point value that is. So we're going to call this function generate store DFP FPRF value, and it's going to go out and do all those comparisons to determine, is it floating point, not a number, quiet, not a number, subnormal, etc. And it's going to generate a 6-bit condition code value, which will then be stored into the condition code register. The function looks as follows. The generate store is going to make that clean helper call. And so we see an assign statement here. We're going to be assigning into FPRF val. We're going to be using the make expr call function. The first argument is the return type of the result. There's zero reg params. We give it the string for the name of the clean function, clean helper. And we generate the function pointer to the function. And then we have a vector, which we've got the 6 arguments for the clean helper in it. And so again, that's going to go off and do that determination of what the type is. And again, the result is put into an IR temp, which then gets stored back into a register as it would normally do. The next way of doing this would be using a dirty helper. Well, a dirty helper is very similar to the clean helper in that you're using C code to do a complex calculation. The difference here is that with a dirty helper, you're able to reach into the guess state and read, write, or modify entries in the guess state. This is all happening kind of under the covers. And unless we tell Valgrind exactly what we've done, which entries we've touched, how we've touched them, we're going to screw up Valgrind, because it's not going to know what happens. Just everything's going to magically change underneath it, and it's going to get lost. And it's not going to be able to report the proper statistics on the user code. We typically only use this as a last resort. You know, we prefer to use a clean helper if at all possible. So again, the key thing here is we're going to directly access the register file in the guest state, and we have to tell Valgrind exactly what we did. So here's an example, the XVI4GR8 instruction. It's one of those MMA instructions. It's a 64-bit long instruction. And it's basically doing a matrix multiply using 4-bit data. The ISA 3.1 added this ACC that we mentioned. It consists of 8 512-bit accumulator entries. Each accumulator entry has 4 128-bit rows in it. And each of those rows is mapped to a BSR register for moving data back and forth. The instruction basically does this matrix multiply, as I said. The result is stored into one of those 8 ACC entries, i.e. the result is a 512-bit value. The problem we have is we couldn't use a clean helper because clean helpers only allow us to return at most 64 bits, and we need to return 512. So we're just a little too big for a clean helper. So it was done, again, like I said, with a dirty helper. So here's the implementation. In this case, we've identified the instruction. We're going to call this function VXMatrixGR, which is going to set up all the arguments for our dirty helper call. So that function looks like this. We have this structure, IRDirty. We're going to create a variable D. We're going to set that equal to this structure that's going to be generated by unsafe IRDirty. That's structure is going to tell us we have zero reg parameters. It's going to have the string name of the dirty helper, and we're going to have a function pointer to the function that implements this dirty helper. And again, we have a vector of the arguments for the dirty helper. In this case, we have 7 arguments. This function setup fx state struct is a routine that I wrote to take the D structure, and then it explicitly says which entry in the ACC we're going to be accessing, that's given by AT, and what the operation is going to be read, write, or modify, that's given by AT underscore fx. And so this function is going to set up and tell Valgrind via this data structure exactly which parts of the guest state have been touched and how. So again, the key thing here is with a dirty helper, you have to tell Valgrind exactly what you've done, and that's all set up in this D structure. So here's the function. So first thing here is nfx state. We're going to be touching four registers. So i.e. four rows in the ACC. So fx state sub zero is the first ACC entry. Fx is the operation, and fx is going to be read, write, modify. We're going to tell it the size of that entry in the guest state. And we're going to do that for all four of those entries in the ACC. And then we're going to go and we're going to tell it exactly which entry in the guest state. So fx state sub zero dot offset. This is the first register of ACC zero, the second register in ACC zero, third register in ACC zero. So we've actually told Valgrind exactly which entries in the state, how big they are, and what we're doing to them. So the last method would be to add a new IOP. And this is generally done if there's an extension of existing, you know, IOP. So for example, if we got, you know, a 32-bit, 64-bit divides, oh, now we've got a 128-bit divide operation. And this is something that conceivably another architecture might add eventually. They might also add an instruction to 128-bit. So it makes sense to have this because it could be used by other architectures in the future. We generally try to avoid creating an IOP that is architecture specific. The ISA 3.1 support added new IOPs for the various 128-bit instructions, you know, like divide, modulo, reinterpretation, multiply with carryout, etc. And again, these were all things that it seems possible or probable that another architecture might add something. Unfortunately, it's a little bit involved to go and add a new IOP. There's a lot of places you have to touch to do that. So I can really only just briefly highlight what you got to do. So basically, you're going to put the new IOP, in this case, say D128 to I128S. You're going to add that into the libvex.ir file. This is the list of all the IOPs that exist in Valgrind. And then for that particular IOP, you had to go into the power host ppc isl.c function. And there's various case statements in there under function ISL, vec, expr, work. We have to add the entries in there to implement the new IOP, getting the arguments, putting them into the data structure. There's a case statement for printing the IOP name, and which can be called, another one to call to tell whether or not that IOP might trap, and one for the type of the IOP. In host ppc defs.c, you actually add the support for issuing the actual instruction on the host for the new IOP. And in memcheck mc underscore trendly.c, you got to again add the IOP in there so you can get all the shadow bit or register bits set so that again Valgrind can track which bits are valid, which ones aren't. So basically, we had to touch a lot of different places in there. A little hard to go through all of those here. So in summary, the ISA 3.1 added a number of new instructions. Most of those were implemented using existing IOPs. We used IOPs to the extent that we possibly could and only used clean helpers in those places where we absolutely had to replace the expensive IOP code expansions. We used dirty helpers for the MMA instructions simply because we had no way to return 512 bits in a clean helper. And again, we did add new IOPs for various instructions that made sense and where they made sense for, you know, existing classes of IOPs that other architectures might use. So with that, hopefully that gives you a basic idea of the various approaches you can use for adding support for a new instruction and basically how it's done. Again, if you're adding a new IOP, those steps are going to vary a little bit depending on is it a binary, trinary, unary, IOP, if it's integer or floating point. So yeah, it gets a little trickier in the specific implementation there. So you have to work a little bit more at that. All right, well, we're going to have a question and answer at this point, and I appreciate your time and attention. Thank you. Hello. I think we got the question and answer session now. So I'm not sure why my picture's not coming up, but first question I had here was, where does the limitation on the return type come? And basically the C clean helper is, it's a C function. And so, you know, you've got your normal return value. So I did look at maybe trying to return some sort of a pointer to a structure, but look at the implementation, that looked like it was going to be very hard to do. I think we got the question and answer session now. Picture not coming up, but I had on type come. And basically the C. So the second question here is, when we generate a lot of IOPS, is there an optimizing class? I'm not aware of one specifically for that. So I didn't actually implement anything specifically for an op pass. Perhaps that's possible. The next question was, even 10 IOPS is kind of a lot and might be a little bit worrisome in terms of the number of IOPS being generated for a given instruction. Yeah, it's possible we could go in and try to implement a few power-specific IOPS that might help reduce that number, maybe implementing those as clean helpers. And we've certainly done things like that in the past. DFP comes to mind, where we implemented a couple of very generic DFP operations, which we did with clean helpers, and that was able to reduce it. But we tried again, do it such that they were operations that another architecture might use. Let's see, the next question here is, would it be possible to return a float or double or even a pointer to a vectorized floating point register? I think, again, you're talking about in a clean helper here. You know, the float or the double, that's okay because, you know, it's a C function. So that's easy to do with a clean helper. Returning a pointer to something was a little trickier. That wasn't clear how well that would work when I looked into trying to do that for a 128 or even a 512. So I didn't do that. Let's see. Julian says here, I was too lazy to implement return in anything other than integer register. So yeah, there's part of the limitation there and the actual clean helper call. The other thing you'd have to keep in mind is when you're making the call to a clean helper, you've got that vector of input value. So we would have to fix that up too if you wanted to be able to pass in something larger than 64 bits, you know, 128 bits or 512. So yeah, trying to extend past that 64 bits could be a little bit involved, and
I didn't choose to do that. Again, I wasn't sure that that was going to be something used by other architectures. So I just didn't bother to do that. I went with a clean helper and then with a dirty helper. That just made more sense. Let's see. Not seeing any other questions here. Any, please go ahead and post, and we got a few more minutes. Well, I'm not seeing any more questions, so I'm going to go ahead and thank you all for your time, and let me know if you have further questions. You can just contact me as one of the Valgren developers. So again, thank you for your time, and hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.